in today's gospel, St. Matthew gives us many warnings, but also he puts forth to us the great example of St. John the Baptizer. For St. John was a true man because, under the influence of the grace of the Immaculate Virgin Mary, he would separate himself from the culture of his time and dedicate his life and his works entirely to God, and so he would take a physical residence in the desert. There he would dedicate himself to prayer and to hard work and begin to make reparation for the sins of the world. Herod, one of the antagonists in today's gospel, was the son of that unmanly man who would send forth his soldiers to kill the infants, because he too, like this Herod, feared the Lord, because it was very clear from prophecy that he would be a king. And so they thought themselves to be in position to lose that kingship by which they did not dedicate themselves to the common good, but to their own pleasures and to their own delights. And so, in our day and in our age, in which our culture has become more decadent than it was in the time of St. John the Baptizer, we must take stern warning from the scripture to defend our children from that which would lead them not to the kingdom of heaven, but to the kingdom of Satan, and ultimately condemnation in hell for all eternity. For St. John the Baptizer truly fulfills those words spoken by our Lord, that we are to live in this world, but not to be of this world, because in our baptism we were claimed for a world beyond this world, a kingdom beyond the kingdom of this world, for we were claimed for the kingdom of heaven, and there alone can we find our happiness. And so in our day and age, we must too be on guard, for we see very clearly that in the court of King Herod, both his father and Herod in today's gospel, we see very clearly the characteristic note of a decadent society: entertainment, a society not dedicated to prayer and to holy works, but a society dedicated to the pleasures of the flesh. And so today we have marriage disparaged, and indeed even an attempt to destroy it. We have children perverted, for as St. John Chrysostom will point out, that this girl Salome was only 9 years of old, and because of the influence of that decadent court and its perverted entertainments, she could, without a qualm of conscience, ask for the head of John the Baptizer, receive that head, and present it to her mother. There can be no more frightening thing for us to hear that a child, and especially a girl of the age of 9, could do so. How does this come about? Because in a society that fosters the vice of lust, we have a daughter that comes with it, and it is violence. It is untold violence. It is untold violence in the streets. It is untold violence in the home. It is untold violence that comes to us through all forms of media, always and everywhere, with one goal in mind: to lead the soul astray from Almighty God in the kingship of Christ, and to deposit them into the false kingship of Satan and this world and its pleasures and its way of living. And so it is entrusted especially to men to guard their children. And so there are many things in modern sociology that can teach us a great lesson. Perhaps the most frightening statistics that it tells us is that in our present age, the average child by the age of 6 will have spent 28 hours a week in front of the television set. If that is not more frightening enough, let us understand that that will be more time than they will spend with their father in their whole lifetime. And that is a truly frightening statistic, for they will be influenced by that which they keep company with. And if they are keeping company with that form of entertainment that is not merely bad, but is clearly satanic and diabolical and designed with one purpose and one purpose alone: to lead the souls of the little one astray, to which our Lord warns us very clearly, Woe to us, for it would be better that a millstone be tied around our neck and we be dropped into the bottom of the sea than we would have ever been born rather than to lead the little ones astray. He further illustrates this by saying to us, forbid them not to come unto me. And so we must resolve to live like St. John the Baptist, knowing always and everywhere that we are not members of this world and its ways, for we are members of a kingdom that cannot be found on the shores of time because it dwells on the shores of eternity. But it is present here amongst us at this very time, in this very age, and will be so until the end of time, especially in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, in which St. Bonaventure tells us it is not so much that Christ descends to the altars of this world, but rather that we are raised to the very bosom of heaven. And so he says quite literally that the soul that has at once worthily participated in the holy sacrifice of the Mass in this life has literally had one foot in heaven. And so let us not risk losing that possession of God for all eternity in heaven, but let us resolve truly to defend our families as St. John the Baptist, who himself was not married, would defend the sacrament of matrimony to the point of losing his life in order not to deny even the slightest doctrine of the one to whom he was to point, that is, the Christ. After this incident, our Lord would retreat to the desert, and there he would feed the multitudes. And so we too must retreat to the desert, for in this life, the Christian life is considered a life in the desert. But like all of God's creation, there is an untold beauty even in the desert. And so we must constantly strive to persevere, but we know our perseverance is not a product of our human effort and our human talents, but it is a product of God's grace, and hence it is a product of the intercession of the Immaculate Virgin Mary, to whom St. John the Baptist was completely dedicated in his life, and so he received from her all that was necessary to fulfill that state that he was called to in life, that great state to be the precursor of Jesus Christ. And in a certain sense, it is the same mission that every member of the church, every baptized soul is called to be a precursor of Jesus Christ, to announce that the Messiah and the good King has come into this world, and he has come not to knock down the kingships and the presidencies of nations, but to sanctify those who hold the position. And if we think that God will be mocked, let us understand, as St. John Chrysostom and others fill in the story, Salome would continue her ways. And one day, while in exile because Caligula, that despot and that most perverted of all men, became disenfranchised with Herod, and he was ultimately exiled to Spain. But Salome had not given up her ways. She had grown to be a young girl, and her decadence and her luring of men grew and increased, until one day, while crossing a frozen river, St. John Chrysostom tells us, while in the midst of a dance, the ice opened, she dropped down, the ice closed, and suspended her for a brief moment, her head above the waters, her body below the waters, as she suffered the intense cold. And then in an instant, she received the same faith that John the Baptizer received at her hands. And so she too was beheaded because God had given her time to repent, as he will give our society and all cultures time. But if we do not respond, then there is an ultimate price to pay. Let us not be willing to pay the price that Salome paid, but let us be willing to even suffer beheading in order to defend Christ and all the sacramental life of the Church. It is time for all good men to stand up and to realize that there can be no compromise with our modern culture in our modern ways, for they are of their very nature anti-Christian, and it is especially time for Christian men to stand up and to defend their families and to rid themselves from all the dross that leads their children astray? Or do we really believe that our children can find their way to heaven when we allow them to spend time and to keep company with those who will tell us, and these are direct quotes from their own songs, "Hell ain't no bad place to be. I'm on a highway to hell. He came to my window with 6,000 sins. I didn't care. I still let him in. My name is Lucifer. Please take my hand." Do we believe that our children can truly find their way to heaven with these verses ringing in their ears and embraced by their heart? And so are we surprised to hear that our children now even assault their parents and do all kinds of decadent things, and they will continue to do so as long as their fathers do the same. They will continue to do so if they spend more time with these evangelists of Satan rather than those who are called to be evangelists of Jesus Christ. And the first evangelist of Jesus Christ in the family is always and everywhere, by divine institution, the father of the family. He is the head and he is the protector of the family, and he must be willing, like St. John the Baptist, to protect his family even at the cost of his own life. And so let us truly show our children that we love them because we have a much higher ideal for them than to befriend Lucifer, than to embrace the ways of the modern world. Let us crush the idols of our modern world, those trinkets of Satan that have pockmarked every home in this modern world, indeed, much like the culture of old. For the decadent signs are everywhere. The perversity is everywhere. It comes to us through our street signs, through the media. It comes to us in all ways, so much so that it can be truly said that the television and many of the media has become the tabernacle of Satan. And what should be the response of all good Christians? To claim those things for the kingdom of Christ. For St. John the Baptist announced that the one to come was the Messiah and the King of the world, and his kingship must reign over all human institutions and all human endeavors. And so, when we see Satan laying claim to our culture, no good Christian, and especially no good Christian man, should retreat from the fight, for he has a greater king, a more powerful king, and he is called to go out and to claim that world and this world for the kingship of Christ, so that under the influence of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, marriage may become what God intended it to be from the beginning, a safe haven in this world in which the primary responsibility is one. Not that our children be raised to be successful, not that our children be raised to be millionaires or billionaires, but a much greater responsibility and a much more powerful entrustment. The primary responsibility of every man and woman united in matrimony is simple, and it's in simplicity it is most profound: to raise their children as citizens for heaven. And so let us strive always to try to do this, knowing that we cannot do so under our own power, but we can only do so by the grace of God, and hence through the intercession of the Immaculate Virgin Mary. To summarize what St. John the Baptist did this day, it's very simple. He defended the prerogative of the Holy Family and its rights over the whole of human society. He defended the role of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and hence held up as the exemplar and model of all family life, that family life that was lived in Nazareth, because up until that point, it was the only true family life that had ever been lived in this world. And so it was the example of all family life in the past, to which it pointed to, and family life in the future, for which it will become the model and example. And what is the characteristic note of that family life? That God is first and foremost in the hearts of all who dwell there, and so they live in this world for the glory of God, not compromising with it, not in any way thinking that we can go to the tabernacles and the cathedrals of Satan, who Monsignor Eugene Kavan would point out, and perhaps the greatest catechist that this nation has ever produced, would point out that in regards to that which comes out of the kingdom of Satan, known in this society as Hollywood, every single movie, he said, somewhere in some place in it, has deliberately placed a blasphemy. And we do not know the effects of blasphemy on society, except to know this, that it is better that we die than cooperate in the repetition of blasphemy, whether it is spoken by ourselves or through the media, for we cannot imagine what it brings down upon society and upon culture. And so it is truly time for all good men to stand up to defend not Satan, but Christ and his rights, those rights which he won, first by his divinity, and perhaps for us more especially, by his love, in which he offered his sacred humanity for our sakes on Mount Calvary, so that we could truly become what was intended from the beginning. Lovers of God, defenders of the children, protectors of mothers, that is, just like Saint Joseph, defending the prerogatives and the rights of the Holy Family, desiring to see in each and every one of us that life that we received in baptism, that is, the life of Christ, so that he may come to full stature in all members of the mystical body, so that they may depart from this life in the precise manner that our Lord departed, because it is also the manner that St. John the Baptist departed in. Although she was not present, he too, like the Lord and Savior, died in the arms of the Blessed Virgin Mary, for it is the only way to ultimately enter into heaven. For if we are not taken down from the cross, that is, if we have compromised with our modern society and sought pleasures and wealth in this life, then we cannot die in the hands of the Mother of God. And in only in dying in her hands can heaven be opened, because she and she alone turns to the Eternal Father and beseeches him on our behalf, as she did on behalf of her Son, when she said, in his case, he has given his life for them, now give them life in him. And so, when we die in her hands, she presents us to the Father as a pleasing sacrifice, and the gates of heaven are opened, and we can rejoice that we have cooperated in the mission of Christ. And he was very clear about that primary mission: woe to you who lead the little ones astray. He was always and everywhere a defender of the children, and so we too must be defenders of the children, raising them up to live a rough life, as it were, that is, a Christian life, rough according to the standards of the world, because it is a life of moderation, it is a life of mortification, and it is a joyous life. For all of us know that the greatest joy that we take in victory, whether it be on the football field or the baseball field, is a great joy because of the effort and the work that went into it. That is, a tough effort, a long road, a long haul, hours of practice perfecting the trade. But in the end, that great victory comes about. And what does St. Paul tells us? If we rejoice in the passing victories of this life, how much more so will we rejoice in that victory that cannot pass away. That if we truly become athletes of Christ, we are rewarded not with the passing laurels of this life, but with the bliss of eternal life. We will enjoy our good God together for all eternity. And so, let us no longer allow our children to keep company, and it must be said, with Satan. For nothing can describe it or explain it in its reality than what it is. There is no way we can conclude that such lines like, "My name is Lucifer, please take my hand," come from anyone but the author of death, who was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. And the author of life has a very different message and a very different call, and it is not for the weak-hearted. It is for those who recognize that their hearts are weak and their minds are fickle, and without the grace of God, they cannot be sustained in the way of love. And so, let us turn constantly in all our labors and at all times to Him who sustains us, to the Immaculate Virgin Mary, who interceded for us and became the mother of all mankind. And let us also know that she wishes to claim all souls for her kingdom, and she will require of us exactly what she required of her Son, to go forth to Mount Calvary in order to be crucified for His sake, who was first crucified for our sake.
Christus.